So welcome everybody to our monthly nutrition endocrinology call. I'd like to introduce, I'm really excited to introduce to you Martha. And here's a short introduction about her. Just like you, Martha is a consumer striving to make better health for her household. She believes no one plans on getting sick, so we have to make decisions to prevent illness. Through her 40 years of lifestyle experiences and research, she is able to share smarter choices about wellness planning for you and your household. She writes articles on health and wellness for local magazines, is a competent communicator with Toastmasters, and is a first degree black belt in Taekwondo. Wow, that is so cool. Okay. And after graduating from college, her background involves helping a food co-op flourish into a competing health store, becoming a La Leche lead, leader, and working in the insurance and financial industry. So you've done a lot of different diverse things, Martha.
Since I didn't put started, on their owned a restaurant too.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. A real multi-talented person. And oh, since, since she started studying under Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo, she decided to create a community, Rise Radiantly with Martha, to teach others wellness planning. And her first program will be released soon called Battered to Better. Okay. And with that, I'd like to introduce you or let Martha take over. I'd like to have everybody please mute yourselves, and if you want to keep your video on you can, but just make sure you mute yourselves. Okay, all right,
get your brain going, live life, laugh lots, and love forever. Isn't that what life is all about? Living, laughing, and loving. And in life, there are really three things that we decide. We decide on our partners that we're going to have for life. We decide on whom we're going to serve. And I like to call it which spiritual guidebook that you're going to follow in our jobs, or how our talents and education are used. But what's missing? What if we decided to make choices about our health? How I will live my life for my health? And what gets in the way of us having the best life or health ever? I think it's because we just become used to a way of life, what we were taught. Lifestyles are taught by example, and how we eat especially. Just think about it. Our food choices growing up was really dependent on someone else's knowledge, our mom or our grandmother or our dad. And maybe you are here today because you want to hear how it is possible to have a sharp and healthy mind even as you age. You want to eliminate fuzzy thinking and not being able to focus. You want to stop forgetting and remember more instead of less and losing your life as you age. This presentation will give you the desire to be the boss of your own health. You live with you every day. You get to decide what goes in your grocery cart and on your plate. I want to give you the knowledge to make better choices for your health. And as you gain knowledge, you can take that information to change your life and health. Brain fog, lack of focus, even depression doesn't have to be in your life. Living life is full of choices, and in order to have the best health ever, we have to evaluate our habits and start the change. I was thinking it's like the when I used to work for somebody, we would do a six-month evaluation. Perhaps that's what we should do with our health, and we're already doing some of that with the assessments we do. This is where I'd like to make it clear that even though I decided long ago to make choices that support my health and environment, as I share my insights and experience, I'm not giving medical advice, I don't give treatments, and I don't give a diagnosis. But I do want you to seek a qualified health professional to discuss any questions you have regarding the medical condition. And the best part of being part of these kind of programs is that you're going to have a testimony to give your doctor, because he's going to see changes from your lab work and in your condition, and so will your friends and family. It's part of a getting well process. So what will we learn about today? Brain health, what's the problems, the type of problems that you could have, and what your brain really needs. And my presentation really targets more of those lifestyle changes for you. And hopefully you got the handout that's called the Presto Change worksheet that you were able to download. And if you didn't, just make two columns on a sheet of paper and list something that you do comfortably, like baking a cake or a pie or walking your dog even. And then list five things or one thing that you would like to learn how to do that's a little bit challenging for you. And we'll get back to that later. And the reason why I call it Presto Change Worksheet is presto, I want it to be a trigger word that when you're trying to change a habit, it's presto, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this instead. Okay, so let's talk about the goals. Goals need actions for the outcomes. We have to think about what we want. You are here because you want to be proactive about your brain health. And that helps you overcome health challenges. You'll learn about thinking about what you're eating, getting the right nutrients. We want drinking water to be the norm. We want you to know your food and products. Clean up your household as well as your gut. A healthy gut means a healthy brain. And my mother used to say, you know, a little housework wouldn't kill you. And I would say, why take that chance? And later we'll find out maybe I was really more right about it than my mother. And then we want to take care of you. Love one another. That's so important in our life. So the problems we face with our mind, brain fog and fuzzy thinking, and let's just think about it in terms of something that you might need to do. Let's just think of an example that maybe you're supposed to go to a volunteer meeting and provide the snack. And at the last minute, you realize, oh, I didn't check my calendar and I'm supposed to be somewhere and I've got to pick something up. And then you have a senior moment because you can't find your car keys. And the difference in that senior moment versus someone that has Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia is that the Alzheimer person can't really remember what a key is or what it's used for. But you get to that meeting and you're all just disheveled and you have a lack of focus and you can't really pay attention and you're supposed to answer questions and then you're going to have anxiety and worry. And you're hoping that no one thinks that, you know, you're not stupid. And then you really just don't feel good. And those are typical problems that, except for the Alzheimer's, that all of us might have to go through as we age. So today I'm going to focus more on Alzheimer's because that was part of my life. And you already heard that I was a financial planner before, and I actually worked with families to help them plan on where the money was going to come from or they were going to share it with a long-term care insurance policy. And I called that retirement disability. And there was really an incredible amount of denial in people understanding what was going to happen to them, to not be financially prepared or not even have any kind of plan. And the sad reality is that a couple turning 65, there's a 75% chance that one of them will need long-term care. And because my dad had Alzheimer's, it gave me an opportunity to start focusing more on health and wellness planning. And that's why I've transitioned from that, because I think it's more benefit to people to learn what they could do to take care of their health. And my dad, he was incredibly smart. He was never on any medication until he was diagnosed with dementia at 85. He was a mechanical engineer. He exercised. He drank lots of water. But what was the one thing that I believe that made a difference in his health that finally caught up with him is that he ate 3 square meals a day. But those 3 square meals a day is what harmed him. Like for breakfast, he'd have a cinnamon bun with eggs and bacon, or it'd be cereal and with milk. At lunch, that square meal would have meat, 2 cooked vegetables, bread, and a dessert, and sweet tea, and dinner was the same. And he did do some intermittent fasting from time to time. It was more for spiritual reasons, but I really think those choices hurt him over time. Now, I was lucky my mom was more into vegetables and fruit, so I was taught more by her example than my dad's. But I was really, it was really sad that my dad never could make that connection between the food he was eating and what it was eventually going to do to his health. So I took care of him as long as I could. And it was so, so disruptive to my life. At that time, I had a 14-year-old and I moved my dad and my household with me. So our world changed. We did eventually use his long-term care policy, but there was still a lot of management and it was sad to see how his life declined. So these are the six activities of daily living that if you can't do two of them, qualify you for long-term care assistance. Bathing, continence, dressing, transferring, toileting, eating, or just being cognitively impaired. I call them the sunrise and the sundown activities because they need, like, your hands and feet have more bones in them than any part of your body. And that's what you need to do all those activities. And if you can't do two of them, your doctor, that was what qualifies you for more care. And in Dad's case, he was very agile, but he was not able to use his brain anymore to be able to do things. So here's a picture of a brain. Here's a normal brain. And then the Alzheimer's brain, you could see how it's just so empty there and vacant. And Alzheimer's was discovered in 1864 and thought to be a rare condition, and get this, only affecting young people. So what has happened to us that Alzheimer is now the sixth leading cause of death in the United States? And one in three seniors die with Alzheimer's or some other type of dementia. And this year alone, it'll cost about $305 billion for care. But what about what it costs for those left behind? And that's really what sold long-term care insurance, that reality that, you know, it's going to be more expenses and a loss of income. And oftentimes, the person that's left behind, their quality of life has changed so much from having to be the caretaker. The big discovery, though, is that Alzheimer's can begin in the brain up to three decades before the first signs of cognitive problems. That's your thinking, your memory, your reasoning, some cases personality changes, like paranoia. We ended up having to put a vertical door lock on the front door when Dad was here because he would leave because he had some paranoia about his mother needed his help. And we had to do that so we could sleep at night. The good news is that this slow build means you have time to reduce your risk of developing the disease, or at very least have the knowledge to prevent it. So now there's genetic dispositions that we can know about, but I really like to call it a lifestyle disposition because that's something that you can work on. Brain facts. A brain of tissue the size of a grain of sand contains 100,000 neurons and 1 billion synapses, all talking to one another. That's a lot going on. And your brain weighs about 3 pounds and uses about 20% of the total blood and oxygen in your body. So let's talk about now what we can do to reduce or prevent Alzheimer's in any type of mental illness. The top five brain killers: no breakfast and no protein. And I would really say more of it's the right kind of protein. Remember, I said my dad was eating protein. He was eating sausage and eggs. And there's a lot of people now, you know, doing the Atkins diet. It was more popular when I was growing up, but that still exists. It's more of a paleo and keto diet where people are just loading up on the wrong kinds of protein. High sugar consumption, that my dad had it 3 times a day. You know, sugar that's like 40 pounds. I think it's like 40 to 60 pounds a year each of us consume on average. Inadequate sleep, lack of learning, and social isolation. And so I just want to take a moment and just say thank you guys for being here because we're a community. Even if it is Zoom, we're still a community and we're learning together. So lifestyle changes for a better health. We will go through some of these. I'll go through these high points pretty fast though. Drink plenty of pure water. We want to exercise. We want to reduce stress. Some of the same things you learn about in body balance and ERC coaching. We want to take on new projects. We want nutrient-dense foods. We want to detox lightly, fast intermittently. We want to clean up our environment, eliminate sugar, gluten, corn, soy. Peanuts is in bold letters because that's inflammatory for your brain. Any GMO foods, we'll talk about that in a minute. And of course, none of the above really makes any difference if you're not having kind thoughts or doing good deeds. And listening to music helps repair your brain tissue. It helps restore memories. And that slide where my dad was dancing with his caretaker, he looked like he was really trying hard to remember something and have a memory of maybe when he was dancing with my mother. So we want to drink plenty of water. I know this isn't the first time you've heard that. We want to stay hydrated. We are 65% water, but your brain and heart have about 73% composition of water. But look at what the lack of water is related to: memory problems, focus, brain fatigue and fog, headaches, insomnia, depression, and volatile emotional states. So I say, you know, if you're around someone that's having a hard time or maybe try to diffuse a situation, best thing you could do is offer a glass of water. But make sure that water is clean. You want to filter it to avoid brain wreckers like chlorine and fluoride that's in tap water. Water is essential for delivering the nutrients to the brain and removing toxins. So a hydrated person does have better concentration and mental alertness and could help with your serotonin and dopamine production, which will help your mood. So how much do you drink? Half your body weight in ounces. I say use glass containers. I save glass bottles all the time and pour water in it. It makes the water taste better. Please, please carry your own stainless steel bottle around if you go somewhere. You want to really get away from plastic, even though it says no BPA included as an ingredient in the bottle. You don't know what else is in that bottle. And then if it gets heated, it does leak other harmful ingredients in your water. And my thing is, it's a menace to the environment anyway. Exercise and learning. We want to always be proactive about our brain health. It's not a muscle, but we want to treat it like one. We want to nurture it, we want to nourish it, and we want to exercise every day. And you can see we want to exercise our brain mentally as well as physically, because it's just good for your immune system and your cardiovascular system, your gut and your mind. And you want to reduce that amyloid plaque that is the Alzheimer's signature. I saw a picture of one Alzheimer's brain that looked like a bunch of meatballs, like being thrown into your brain where all those gaps are. I don't want my brain to look like that, but moderate amounts of walking and jogging and biking and other fun things get your heart pumping. And recently I was listening to a seminar about how building the strength of your leg muscles up actually helps your brain as well. So here I'm going to brag on the next one. At 62 years of age, I started Taekwondo. I earned my first degree black belt, and I do martial arts because it works my mind and body. So if y'all filled out your column, I'm going to explain to you what that means. If you listed something that you do comfortably on the left side, that works with the left side of your brain, which doesn't ever really challenge it. But what we want to do for our brains, we want to pick things to do that are complicated and complex. Like mine, you've already heard, I do Toastmasters and Taekwondo. And those will always stay on the list because there's always a next level of mastery. And then the third thing, and I was talking to Lisa about this earlier, is learning how to read lab work. That is real challenge from our brain because I'm not a scientific brain person. And so hopefully later we'll be able to hear some of the things that maybe you picked for your challenges. But you see, we want to pick something that gives us good stress. Stress is not always bad. You know, you want something that gives you the butterflies in your stomach, something that makes you sweat a little bit, something that you find fun, and of course, always that third element, learning. And I know things aren't like it was. If you're having trouble finding something that you might want to do, the community colleges and senior citizen centers in your area offer adult enrichment programs where you can find new skills and new hobbies. So just to finish up, physical exercise has effect on many parts of the brain, especially the hippocampus region. New science shows that this can grow, and it can stimulate the production of a growth factor in the brain called vascular endothelial growth factor that leads to that strengthening of your brain tissue. And a lot of the things that I'm talking to you about today not only help you with your brain, but there's also going to lower the risk of diabetes, hypertension, depression, and cardiovascular disease. So the conclusion here is with exercise, get moving because you have a good outcome. And also on the Presto Change worksheet, there's a place where you can put what you've been doing for exercise, and it can be nothing, or it can be walking up and down the stairs or walking the dog, to what you would like to challenge yourself with. So now it's a really good time for everybody just to sit back and take a deep breath. I sure do need to do that. Just inhale slowly and just let the air out and relax a moment. Just kind of empty all the stuff that you've been listening to for a minute. And many studies prove that relaxation, deep breathing, as in yoga, tai chi, are good for you. In Taekwondo, we do a lot with breathing because it helps us with confidence. It helps build our physical strength and also gives you a peace of mind. So along with that glass of water in a maybe a controversial or heated situation, take a breath, good breath with your water. And you may have heard of telomeres before. They're little tiny bits of DNA that are found. They're like little tails at the end of the cellular chromosomes that protect your information. Well, short ones, which happen over time anyway, indicate stress, disease, and depression. But people that are prayer warriors and people that are positive and people that take the time to rest and meditate, they have the longer ones. So that's a way, breathing is a way to help protect your telomeres. It's okay to slow down, to do nothing, to rest and walk. And if possible, you could do a forest bath. We learn a lot from nature. A forest is a community. We are too. Like, women together release a good hormone called oxytocin. And trees emit healing substances called phytosides, which can ease anxiety and lower your cortisol levels and promote healthy sleep. Forests have many scents that heal, like cypress and pine and cedar. So go for a walk in the woods. Or if you can't do that, you can create the same effect with essential oils and breathing exercises. And on the handout, there's a place for you to take a break, to put down your breaks in the day. I would suggest every 20 to 25 minutes, and especially if you're sedentary. I use the timer on my stove and not my phone because I hate the sound of the buzzer on the stove and I have to get up. So I get up quickly. So I'm moving, I'm breathing, and I'm making sure that I'm not sitting down all the time in front of my computer. And then, of course, some other things you can do to reduce stress. Watch a funny movie. I love Doris Day movies. If I want to have a good laugh, I put one on. Excuse me. And then we have a bird feeder near one of our windows, and we just laugh all the time at how what they do and how they run and jump, run and fly, not run and jump away from us. Get enough sleep. This is my sweet little grandbaby. Studies conclude that most people need 7 hours of quality sleep each night. Why? Because while you're asleep, your brain is so busy repairing and renewing. And I used to be in television and theater, and no one ever saw all the stuff we were doing behind the scenes to make everything look glorious and fantastic on the outside in the production. They didn't see the things that were going wrong or what we had to work on. So I think of our brain this way as behind the scenes for the production of our life. And that's why we want to take as good a care of it as we can. So eat a healthy brain diet. Brain uses the most energy of all the organs, so we want to stay away from sugar, processed foods, simple carbs, GMO foods, toxins, and cleaning and personal care products that are safe for us. We want to make sure we're using that. And Alzheimer's is referred to in some circles as type 3 diabetes because of the sugar that gets in the brain. And the way I look at it, I think this is what happened to my dad. He ate preserved, purified, polished, pickled, canned, and cooked food. And that'll be your health if you eat that way, just like it was an unfortunate outcome for my dad. He just didn't buy into the information I gave him. Toxic relationships and toxic foods and toxic products will zap and burden your brain over time. So you want to get these out of your house. You want to unravel your love affair with toxic products. Even if you've used these products with a mask or gloves or they're under your sink or somewhere in your garage, they're still outgassing and causing inflammation for you. Corporations, they spend big bucks to discover all our psyche. They want to stump us to believing that their products are good for us. You know, and it's all like in a 60-second commercial. And then when you go to the store, it's by design of where that product is that we reach for it. And of course, look how colorful all these products are. Of course, we're attracted to them. But we're going to be smarter than that. Eat your genius foods. I put a short list on here. Of course, there's a lot more. I wanted to pick some easy ones like blueberries. And again, on your sheet that you have, you might put blueberry pancakes or walnuts on the left. I mean, blueberry pancakes or blueberry muffins on the left side. And the challenging side for your brain is you're going to try blueberries with maybe some mixed greens in a smoothie to try something different for your brain. You want to learn to like new things. And I love this picture of the walnuts because if you compare it to what's on the right side, you can see how similar they are in design. This is called God's pharmacy. You can see the left and right hemispheres. You can see all the folds and wrinkles. And guess what? We had talked about the telomeres earlier. Walnuts are good for protecting your telomeres. This also helps you with the production of 3 dozen neuron transmitters for your brain. So learn to love walnuts. And GMO, if you're going to still eat packaged or processed food, that's okay. But you want to make sure when you're buying something that you see this label on it. And the best thing to say about it is if you don't see that, it means that it might harm you. It might harm your gut, give you leaky gut syndrome. And if you're buying fresh fruit and vegetables, what you need to look for, there's those little stickers on fruit and vegetables. And you want to make sure that it's not a 5-letter code and it doesn't have an 8 in front of it, because 8 means that it's genetically modified. And the way I remember that is like there's an 8 keeps looping around and around. And if you eat something genetically, it's not going to be good for you and you can't get away from that loop. So we want to consume healthy fats on a regular basis. Healthy fats help you have good speaking ability, memory function, and motor skills. And remember, those were the things that are part of those daily activities that we want to keep intact. And it helps with people suffering from memory loss. And here's this avocado over here. I guess that's the husband chasing the wife saying, I said you're the good kind of fat. avocado and healthy fats got a bad run in the media for a while, but they're actually good. And if you fish lovers, wild caught salmon, you still have to be careful when you eat fish, because you have to ask if it's whether it's farm raised or not, because the news deception is that they're considering farmed fish wild caught for some reason. So you want to double check if you're going to eat fish. Nutrients to protect your brain: the omega-3 fatty acids, the combined with the coconut oil, boosts that ability to help your brain. And these are some of the things you're already going to be learning about: gut healthy foods, fermented foods, probiotics and prebiotics. And there's two probiotics that help you. Ruteri and Helvetica are probiotics that are good for anxiety. So that would be good for a person suffering some type of mental impairment, or even the caregiver. And then if you wanted to boost the nutrients in your brain, the phosphatidylserine is a fatty substance that helps protect the covering of your cells and helps with the cell signaling. And I love this picture here. I'll put my little arrow over it. That's a synapse. And look how it's reaching out and communicating. And, you know, we learned earlier how that's going on with billions of your cells inside this communication system. Another reason you want to protect your brain. And animal studies suggest that the level of phosphatidylserine decreases with age. And it seems like everything declines with age. And that's why a wellness plan is of utmost importance. So we're going to move on to essential oils, because they have a unique ability to penetrate cell membranes and diffuse throughout the blood and tissues. And it's one of the only things that are small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier. And what's interesting, that our sense of smell is one of the first signs that you have COVID. And loss of smell also plays a role in diagnosing Alzheimer's or dementia. So think about it. The sense of smell activates the day a baby is born. And you start to lose that by the time you're age 60. It starts to be on the decline. But a baby can smell its mom by smell alone. So you want to keep that sense of smell active all your life. You want to diffuse essential oils. You want to find out about spices and herbs to keep your brain active. And I think the onset of salt has really ruined some of our taste buds and sense of smell. So three easy essential oils. I picked these three because you can grow rosemary and peppermint and lavender. You can grow them inside and outside. They're easy to find. Rosemary assists brain health. It also helps your hair grow. So that's interesting how those have multi-purposes like that. Peppermint relieves your ADHD and energy, and lavender eases your feeling of tension. You can cook with it. You can diffuse. You can drink it as a tea. And I'm thinking of having a peppermint day where I'm going to drink tea, put it in my smoothie and my salad, and diffuse it and rub it on my body. Keep a positive attitude. We want to lead, that leads to greater skill building and connections with people. And the future of mental health or Alzheimer's. Studies on lithium orotate helps prevent or retard mental decline is what they've been studying recently. The University of California at San Francisco, the Memory Aging Center, believes as people started doing what? Taking preventative lifestyle measures could reduce the diagnosis of Alzheimer's by like 30%. And I believe that, you know, some of the other diseases that we've talked about and chronic conditions, it would certainly help that as well. There's more genetic understanding of that APOE4 gene. I also read something about chewing gum can help the brain stay more activated. And I wondered if we just chewed our food, like we're learning in these classes, would it be better to bring the same results? There's neuroplasticity that helps those synapses grow and talk to one another. So you are already wellness planning, being part of ERC. You're already proactive about learning. You're already thinking about what you're eating, and you're part of a community that supports one another. So use that Presto Change worksheet to help you break old ways and discover new thinking, new challenges, and new commitments. I wish my dad had had a crystal ball or had known the information we know now 3 decades before he died to protect his brain. It was so emotionally devastating to my family to watch such a sweet, smart man decline to where he couldn't even talk to us anymore. I will say he learned how to like double blink his eyes like this to say hello to me when I came in the room. So at least his love never left. But love your brain, live life, laugh lots, and love forever. And there's my sweet dad. And somebody in the nursing center where he was loved him and just followed him everywhere he went. And then just so you'll know about more about GMO, you can add this phone app and help you when you go shopping to figure out if something is GMO or non-GMO. And then ways to find out more, and I didn't mean to hit that one. Ways to find out more, Women's Alzheimer's Movement. I put that on the screen because women are more impacted by Alzheimer's, are usually the caretaker and the one left behind, and they may need care themselves. If you know someone that's experiencing Alzheimer's in their family, a support group is so helpful. It's so stressful to be part of that lifestyle. NAMI is the National Association of Mental Illness. It helps people that are coping with family members that have mental illness. God's Pharmacy, if y'all would like to know more about that, I do have a presentation I give on that about food. Dirty Dozen, that's another app that you can download to learn about which foods or have been sprayed a lot with pesticides. And the smell test, I think it's actually called a sniff test. Dr. O'Brien has a sniff test that helps determine where you are with a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And then suicide hotline, please put that on your phone. You may never have thought about committing suicide, but there's plenty of people out there nowadays thinking about it. And if you have that number, it's a 24/7 hotline, you could at least share that number with them to help them make a better decision. And that puts me probably over my time. I wanted to maybe hear some of the right brain challenges, but I'm going to give it back to you, Lisa.
Well, thank you, Martha. Very wonderful presentation. I guess you could stop the share now, and I'd like to open it up for questions. If anybody has any questions, just unmute yourself and ask Martha.
I have a question.
Sure, okay. Go ahead.
So I have brain fog, basically related to, I have a long time of having autoimmune issues, but then leaky gut. And I guess I found out recently that leaky gut starts long ago, but nobody ever talked about it. But anyway, my question is, wait a minute, see, now I'm brain fog. What was my question?
You wanted to ask about leaky gut, maybe?
Well, brain fog, is that a precursor possibly to Alzheimer's, or is it just, I mean, that's what I'm working on. I want to work on that because I miss my brain and my memory.
Well, everybody's, the way they express illness is different, but brain fog is one of the symptoms. It doesn't mean you're going to get Alzheimer's, or actually dementia is the big umbrella for Alzheimer's, and there's several kinds of Alzheimer's that can even be related to vascular things like having a stroke, or even a brain injury could have you cause you to have Alzheimer's. But yes, unhealthy gut means an unhealthy brain at some point in your life, and so we know we want to work on cleaning up our gut, and leaky gut, if you have that, there's different protocols for that.
So I'd like to just say something here about brain fog. We have to figure out what the root cause is. So one of the very important things for brain health is balanced blood sugar, because you know the brain needs glucose 24/7. So it's very important to figure out if your brain fog is related to dysglycemia, so unbalanced blood sugar. Is your brain fog related to a disbalanced microbiome? So if you have leaky gut, that means you have some kind of dysbiosis. And we know that the microbiome or unbalanced gut is makes you more susceptible or increases your risk for dementia. And then, it's just important to, I mean, it's so, how can I say, it's so non-specific, brain fog, but all of, if you take care of the foundations for your health, so the foundations for health would be balanced blood sugar and optimal digestion, you go a long way towards preventing illnesses in the future, including dementia. And it would be really important to figure out if you have the genotype, the APOE E4, E4, or the E3, E4.
I actually have mine here, and I saw that I have APOE, but four, but it's with yellow, it's, what do they call that? You inherited one of two risk alleles, it says.
So you're heterozygous, so you probably have E3, E4. And so that means you've got to watch the type of fat that you have, and then do everything that you can do to keep yourself in optimal health. So it's just balancing blood sugar, looking at your digestive health.
I don't do much sugar except natural sugars.
No, I mean, it's balancing your blood sugar. So making
That's, probably.
That's the thing. So anyway.
Okay.
Do you exercise?
Right now, no. No, not so much right now, but I will. I have an elliptical behind me, you can see, and I just am having going through mold detox because I've got a mold issue. So I'm really fatigued all the time. So I'm having trouble, but I plan to.
Okay. Presto change.
That's why I'm here.
That's right.
I want to fix it, for God's sake. So thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a question about God's Pharmacy. Can you tell us about that, Martha, what that is?
Yes. It's a nothing that I thought of, but it's, you can go online and look at it, godspharmacy.com. And what's the cool thing is a lot of food that we eat without the scientific research, you can look at it and it helps you with your body in those areas. Like celery looks like bones. Well, celery is good for your bones. Tomato has four chambers. And the lycopene in the tomatoes is good for your heart. And so that's God's Pharmacy. It's just a signature design of fruits and vegetables. And it's called God's Pharmacy because it's nature. And there's a relationship between what those foods do and how they help you with your health.
Lovely. Any other questions?
Yes, what was that mineral
phosphatidylserine?
Serine, yeah. I've never heard of that. So how do you get it? Where do you get it? What is it?
Fatty substance you can buy. You can also, choline helps the signaling. I can't spell it. I had to learn how to say it. But let me see if I can find my notes and I'll type it in.
So lecithin, sunflower lecithin would give you phosphatidylserine or phosphatidylcholine. Yeah. And also you can get phosphatidyl or choline from eggs. If you eat eggs, if you're not sensitive to eggs, sunflower seed butter. You just have to be careful about sunflower seeds and sunflower seed butter because they're higher in omega-6s. But you can have small amounts, especially for the choline content. And then, of course, for the genes, you need to check your PEMT genes to see if you have a higher need for choline.
Yeah, there's so much information that could have been shared, and just to try to narrow it down to a few things is complicated.
No, you did a great job. You did a great job. I just wanted to say about the loss of taste. So one of the minerals that's so important about helping us with our sense of taste and smell is zinc. So zinc status is very important. And so make sure that your zinc status is optimized. So on your blood work, you can look at alkaline phosphatase, or you can do a zinc taste test, which is not so scientific, but it lets you know about your zinc needs. So zinc is ubiquitous in the body. So it's involved in more than 200 enzymatic systems. And we often have a high need for it. So one thing about prevention would be to make sure that your zinc status is optimized.
And you say you said that alkaline phosphate test we see on blood tests is for zinc?
Well, it's part of the liver panel, but it's a zinc dependent enzyme. And because of only about 1-2% of serum zinc or zinc is in the serum. So we want to find out if we have enough zinc sort of functionally. So we look at alkaline phosphatase because it's a zinc dependent enzyme. So if alkaline phosphatase is sort of below optimal, then we know we have an increased need for zinc. It's indicative. It's not diagnostic.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, can I just ask a question related to that? So I've read that if you're taking zinc, which I do, and you can taste it, that means you have plenty. But if you can't taste it, you're needing more. I'm sort of like, how do you, you know, does that mean you shouldn't take it all the time? If you taste it, you know, you have it, and you can taste it?
It's two different things, right? So the zinc taste test lets you know about, it's a way of figuring out your need for zinc or minerals in general. And how it goes is if you can't taste it, your body has a higher need. You need about 15 milligrams of zinc daily. So you may be able to get that from your diet. But as an insurance policy, you can think about taking zinc or looking at your alkaline phosphatase. But if you can, to answer your question, if you can taste it, it depends. If it has a really, you know, strong metallic taste, maybe you don't need to take, you know, 30 milligrams of zinc. And then the other thing I have to say is that we shouldn't really take ever more than, I mean, Mihaela would know more about this, but more than 50 milligrams of zinc, because zinc can be, interacts with a lot of minerals and it causes depletions. You know, minerals are synergistic and they also are antagonistic and they can compete with each other. So we have to make sure, because we take sometimes so many different vitamins and minerals, not to ever be above 50 milligrams of zinc in total. And then of course there's the zinc copper ratio. So that's one thing I look at with all of my clients, is to see if, you know, if the zinc copper ratio is okay, i.e. not more copper than zinc, but also that, you know, too much zinc can also deplete copper and we need copper. So, you know, it's all very, I don't know if you have something to say about that, Mihaela.
Thank you.
Usually zinc up to about 100 milligrams, it's okay. It won't grab the copper. But and there's instances, so if someone already has some kind of upper respiratory infection, so we want to go more aggressive on that, doctors will go high on zinc, like 220 milligrams. But that's for a short period of time, and that's okay for a short period of time. But definitely long term, we have to stay under 100 milligrams.
Yeah, and I just for some reason say below 50. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's usually the norm. On occasion, you are gonna have people that need more, but most people don't need more than 50.
Yeah.
That's daily, right?
Yeah,
daily, but 15 milligrams, 1.5 is the DRI, is the daily recommended amount. So we know that those are, you know, that's a minimum amount you need to prevent sort of deficiency.
And there's lots of foods that are rich in zinc. So if you eat a wholesome diet, you know, you do get the zinc. Now, if the diet is to be desired, then, you know, then definitely you might want to go higher on them.
Yeah. What's interesting is a lot of foods that are rich in zinc also contain copper, like nuts and seeds. So it's nature's funny like that, like you were saying, Martha, nature's God's pharmacy. It's really, it's amazing how foods are balanced actually that way.
Question.
So Martha, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm putting, somebody asked for God's pharmacy, and it's a PDF that I'm putting in the chat for everybody.
Okay. All right, great. Catherine, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thanks, Lisa. Martha, thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
Brain health is so hugely important. Like Jenny, I also have brain fog. I've been diagnosed with mild neurocognitive impairment due to multiple etiologies. In other words, my health is so screwed up, it's taking it out on my brain. Do you have any specific recommendations you've come across depending on which part of the brain is impacted? Like if it's the frontal cortex or if it's the cerebellum, are there any more specialized things to do? I've listened to Dr. Dadas Karazian, who's phenomenal on brain health. And his philosophy is, one of his philosophies is, if something's impaired, you need to use it more. So, you know, like doing puzzles for certain parts of the brain, that kind of thing. Do you have any thoughts on that, Martha?
I know that some of the research I've looked at, and like watching my dad even, that, you know, they would do a lot of puzzles in the assisted care unit. But really, I think the neuroplasticity, like there's Dr. Jim Otis that does the brain time, and there's many others that do that kind of treatment, but it's just helping your brain learn to re-signal because the firing's off in your brain. And so that, just based on my knowledge and experience, that's what I know about in terms of, you know, I'm a student at this too, and in terms of knowing frontal lobe versus hippocampus, you know, I know that the hippocampus is what helps your memory. So like for you, I know you like to sing and play music. That would help your brain restore. You know, we've talked about eating the foods, but as far as something specific, no, I don't know. I just know the general stuff.
Cool, thanks. One other question for you, Martha. Especially given your experience with your dad, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Gone through that. My mom is, she does not have dementia, but she's in a nursing home. Her MS is very bad. But one of the impacts of the social isolation that has come from a COVID-19 world where they're stuck in their rooms and they don't have activities, and the lack of engagement with other people there, is her cognition has significantly declined. And I can't impact the food choices there. I've tried, I'm not being successful. And I give her like activity books, you know, like adult puzzles, but also coloring books and things like that to try to keep her activated. But any other thoughts on what one can do to help loved ones who are in care facilities to help them with their brain health?
Music is a universal language, and you know, you don't have to form words to listen. You can just listen. And I think music is we learned in the presentation that music helps restore some of your memories and repairs tissues in your brain. And I mean, I'm not talking about rock and roll, but maybe something soothing like a Beethoven or a Bach, or, you know, a Spanish flute or even an Indian flute would be my suggestion to start with that. A lot of the things you were talking about, people would get bored doing puzzles by themselves all day. You know, we need that social activity amongst each other to keep us thinking and engaging with one another. But, you know, music, if you play it in your room, you can even get up and dance by yourself if you're mobile. And the exercise would be good for her.
What about supplements? Are you able to give any supplements Catherine, your mom?
I have talked to her doctor about trying to add things and I've not been successful yet. Do you have any, I mean, I could press again on some of the ones that...
Omega-3s would be really good. And then magnesium threonate, because it goes across the blood-brain barrier.
Cool. I will raise that. Thank you.
Anything else? It seems we're having trouble with the link to the God's Pharmacy.
Yes.
So I just put up the PDF God's Pharmacy for a free download. If not, I can do it as a handout for everybody and send it to Andy.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah, when I do the godspharmacy.com, I go to health insurance, Christian health insurance.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that.
Well, that's what comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, that is where
I'll just make I'll just make a handout, and so it'll be easier for everybody.
Yeah. That would be great. Thank you.
And it's really, you know, once you start to look at it, it's really fascinating. It's like the carrots. If you look at the carrot, you can see how it looks like an eyeball, the retina. The tomato has four chambers. The grapes also have a cluster that's the shape of a heart. Kidney beans help maintain kidney function, and they look like human kidneys. Celery, bok choy, rhubarb look like the bones, and they specifically target bone strength. Bones are 23% sodium, and these foods are also 23% sodium. So before, you know, there was a lot of research about how foods help us, people would just eat these foods anyway, and it would help them with their health. Eggplant, avocados, and pears target the health and function of the womb. Figs are, you know, they grow in twos, and they help increase the motility of male sperm. Sweet potatoes look like the pancreas and actually balance the glycemic index for diabetics. Olives assist the health and function of the ovaries. Grapefruits, oranges, and other citrus fruits look like the mammary glands of the female and help assist in the health of the breast and the movement of the lymph in and out of the breast. And onions look like body cells, and they help clear waste materials from the body cells. And they even produce tears, which wash the epithelial layers of the eyes. So those are some of God's Pharmacy.
Wow. Amazing.
So what do you guys think of that new stuff that's come out? The supplements, the fruit and the veggie supplement pills. Have you seen that? It's a special
you mean the one that's advertised on the news?
Yeah, you know, they've got the red bottle I think for the fruit and the green bottle for the veggies, and you know, you take six capsules a day and you get your daily requirement of vegetables.
Well, I'm gonna say eat food.
Yeah,
well, color or do your smoothies.
But the problem with that is people, as they get older, don't have an appetite and can't eat enough. And I do feel sometimes like I am not getting enough of my nutrition just because I don't eat a large quantity of food. Mm-hmm. And I have found out I am deficient in some vitamins and minerals recently. And I had no idea. And I've been eating for 12 months a very healthy fruit and vegetable diet, no meat and dairy. And so it's a real problem getting all the nutrients I need just because I can't eat enough volume.
In that case, it's okay to take supplements. And of course, keeping the diet as diverse as possible. But we start with, like Martha said, we start with the diet. And then try to make up any insufficiencies or deficiencies through supplements. But, you know, supplementation can't help if the diet is imbalanced.
Right. So. Okay. Well, I might try some of those then, because like I said, diet is healthy. I'm just not getting everything, not eating enough to get it all.
But what I see with the problem with those type of supplements, people will take those and then they'll still eat barbecue every day and ice cream and all the wrong foods. So they're still going to be out of balance. And that's where commercials, like I was talking about earlier, really just mess us up, because we think that it's going to be okay to take that without realizing we could get it from our food. And then we're causing more imbalance by not learning the other foods that are good for us to eat.
Sounds like CJ has a good base diet, and maybe she just needs to add in some greens and some reds. So you can get greens or reds powders as well, and then add them in just to supplement. We do need to get all the colors in. Did you have a question, Louise? Is that Louise? Yeah.
I actually have something. My mother is 90 years old, and she's not in a nursing home, she's in her home. But one of the things that has saved her, besides this fact that she talks to all of her friends all day long, is my son got her a Google Nest Hub Max. And she can just say, "Hey, Google, call so-and-so," and they'll come on and she can visually see them. So it's kind of like a Google Duo, or what we're doing right now, Zooming. I don't know if her mother is available to, would be able to use that, or if she could get it in the nursing home, but that's one thing. And then the other thing was my other son who has two small children, gave her a picture frame, and he can upload photos through the wireless internet. And so she can look over and see these photos that flip by. And now she's got over 700 photos on this.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
And so both of those are things that trigger, it gives her some socialization, either face-to-face with the Google Nest Hub Max, or she's got the picture frames where she can look over and see the great-grandchildren from babyhood to 2.5 years old. And she's really enjoyed both of those, and it kind of gives her some interaction. So I don't know if she could install that in her room at the nursing home, but that might be something. And especially she's having some memory, if she had the photograph, which would probably be doable, if not the other thing, it would give her something that she could install photographs from when she was young. So any photos or slides that she could get in a digital format to get on there that might trigger her memory. Because I know with Alzheimer's, you're supposed to let them see a lot of photographs of their life. So that's my two suggestions.
Thank you. That's great.
Yes, I've heard about the Google Nest Hub Max. Is that where they could just touch the screen? I don't think they can even touch it to bring up somebody. So well, it doesn't take a lot of effort on their part.
With the Google Hub Max, you don't even have to touch it. You can just say, "Hey, Google, call Granny or call George or whatever." And if it's, you know, inputted, if it's programmed into it, then she would be able to contact you to talk to you face to face.
Thanks, Louise. That's a great idea.
So, but that's been real helpful for her.
You activated my Google on my phone.
Sorry.
No, it's good. I know my mom was going through all of her stuff, she was in and out of hospitals and rehabs and assisted living centers and everything. And she, as she was going downhill, she became less and less aware of her surroundings, you know, her cognitive function just was decreasing. And she really needed to be gluten-free and dairy-free. And I know I bumped up against, nicely bumped up against quite a few doctors and diet directors, you know. And so I know one thing that worked pretty well for me was if I would ask them if they would agree to let me feed her for a certain period of time, that they would not feed her. And then I would give her the food that we ate that I knew she could eat. And they would see that she wasn't having the problems, all of the problems that she was experiencing on their diet. And I kind of had, I usually had more success giving them an example of how she could be if she ate what she needed to eat. And then after that, they always had weekly menus and I would check off the things that she could eat and scratch off the things that she could not. And then when I went grocery shopping, I would buy stuff that would be stored in their kitchen. And so instead of using their croutons, they used her croutons or whatever. And so it wasn't 100%. And of course she was 20 minutes away from me and I was there every day. But that was one thing that I think it stretched her out a little bit longer because she did have some pretty, she had some extreme gluten problems and dairy, she just, it was just sad. So I do think, I never ran across anybody that was antagonistic. Well, no, I can't say that. But for the most part, they weren't antagonistic. They just, you know, they're trying to feed 100 people or 1,000 people or whatever, and they don't have the time. But if somebody is near your relative, you know, figuring out whatever it is that they can do, you know, without totally destroying their life and everything, then just doing that, you know, I think whatever you can do makes a difference. So
yeah, I think that when you can show up on a regular basis, there's so many people that didn't have anybody show up. And of course they always wanted to hug me too. And they wanted dad to share me, but yes, it helps you build a good relationship with the staff there and they understand what you're trying to do. And I would bring different food to dad too. But the problem we had, other people would steal it because there are a lot of people walking around in those units and they would think it was theirs and not his.
Yeah.
One of the challenges now, though, is in a COVID world, I can't bring food in. I can't be in the place. I haven't hugged my mother since February. So the only thing I can do is talk to them about adding XYZ, eliminating ABC. And thanks though for suggestions, appreciate it.
Yeah, my experience was she died January 2019. So it was all before COVID. So I don't have the same challenges that you're facing now. Man, I send you all of the strength that I can send you. I know it's
hard.
You love them to death. You just love them, love them, love them. And I can't imagine trying to do what we were doing now. So I wish I could give you my strength. Stay strong.
Thank you, Elaine. That's lovely.
But the good news is that we can make some steps so that our families might not have to experience that.
Amen.
Any more questions or any comments?
No, oh, thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome.
It was a fantastic presentation. I really enjoyed it and learned a lot.
And I'll get the God's Pharmacy out. Will that be uploaded on the recording?
Yeah. I'll make sure that your PowerPoint, the handout that you mentioned, because we didn't have the handout before. I mean, because we don't send it out beforehand. So the handout that you mentioned will be posted with the PowerPoint and then the God's Pharmacy as well.
Could it be posted on the Facebook page?
Well, actually, we have a special area on the ERC Unstoppable Health, so we'll put it there where all the materials will go.
I'm just wondering a technical thing. Is it possible the day of when you're having sessions like this, just to post the link on the Facebook again, because that's the ERC, that's just the fastest way, the most idiot-proof way for people like me to find some of this stuff, because some of the stuff I find that kind of gets lost in the emails. It's just an easy place. Can that be done?
I'll ask. This year, what they've done is there's a call page, and it carries all the links. There's a call page on the Ensemble Health site.
I know, but it's kind of like it would be, instead of going to the call page, because you have to go through several more pages.
Yeah.
Could it be posted there, please?
I will ask. I will ask the powers that be. How's that? I will ask. I'm not sure.
So this time I'm going to keep asking, because that's the most idiot-proof place for people like me.
I know that they're trying to get away from Facebook and putting links there, especially because of the hacking issues and things like that. And like this call doesn't have a waiting room or a password.
I got a text message with a link. So you click the link and then you have to go through all sorts of other things. That's really annoying. And it's like, I'm just trying to get on.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you know what?
There was a call that had the wrong time, and I wasn't the only one that got a wrong time. So I missed it. It was irritating because I planned the day around it. It's like, just pass that along, please. You know, it's kind of like you might not be able to do anything, but pass it along, because I will bring it up again.
I will pass it along, and I have to apologize as well for wrong call times. There have been some mistakes. The most up-to-date or correct place is the call calendar, actually, on the Ensemble Health site. And there was a complaint before. There were too many emails and too many call reminders. And so this year they've tried to reduce them and find more efficient ways. And I think we have to find a balance of how to get the call links to you that are correct, that you can easily get on the calls without inundating your inbox. So yeah, we have to figure it out. But thank you.
No, you know that you want to use Biocanic. Maybe Biocanic is the place to put that. Like if you want to have a central place for ERC, because you're worried about the hacking. The unfortunate thing about Facebook is that is like a go-to place. It's so easy. So maybe make it Biocanic.
Well, Biocanic is
anyway.
Yeah. Okay,
I'm not going to say anymore.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm hearing. I understand what you're saying, and I know it has to be easy to get on the calls. I know that, and then not having too many steps to go through. Actually, you just want to click a link and get onto the call. I mean, ideally, that's what you want.
Do you use an online calendar or anything? An online calendar or anything like Google Calendar?
I thought this was linked up. Wasn't. I looked at my calendar. It's like, dang, nabbit. Yeah. And it's annoying because it's like, but I thought that I linked that. I don't know how many times I need to do it.
Because I know that.
Anyway, whatever.
Because sometimes it's not pulling up for me. But if I can get it on my Google Calendar, then basically I just hit that button and I'm in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If that had linked, but it didn't. If somebody can talk about how to do that, maybe that'd be great.
Yeah, like, you should be a reminder. Yeah, when you get it, if you say, I can tell you what I'm getting is that it'll ask me whether I want to respond, and I click on that respond button and I confirm whether I'm going to attend or not. That's what I usually see. And then it'll pop up a screen asking me if I want to add it to my calendar. And then I say yes, and then it asks me which calendar.
So I did that. It didn't work. It's kind of like, so then when I was logging on again, because I thought I was logged on, it's asking me the same questions as if it didn't recognize that it already done it. So so I don't know, maybe if you send text, just send a live link on a text. Mm-hmm. that
problem is everybody does everything different. We just, there was some problems yesterday. Yeah. People didn't get on, missed a couple of calls, but I discovered it was more me not taking an extra step, because under that unstoppable health and you go to the calls and you go to the ERC, I was just looking at what the top banner was for that call. If I had just gone down to the bottom and in brown, it has like the next thing coming up. If I had tapped on that with my cursor, it would have taken me right to the link. So maybe that's where the training needs to be, that people, it's like, usually you have something on the top that's coming up and then the two on the bottom show what's, like mine was the one coming up that was on the right side and the one on the left was Lynn's, her link to go to her yesterday. So everybody seems, for challenge, that's a right brain challenge maybe. And Nova, did anybody want to share a right brain challenge? Something that they would like to learn?
Yeah, technical thing.
What about language? New language, is that right brain?
That's right brain, right. Learning a new language is. Learning a musical instrument. Something that would be complicated for you and have complexity and challenge.
Sudoku, or like for language, I know right now we're using Duolingo to learn Spanish, but that's basic. Well, you can make it a paid app and go ad free, but you can also do it for free and do daily languages on whatever language you're deciding to learn. So you might like that if you wanted to learn a language.
Which app is that, Elaine?
It's called Duolingo.
Oh, okay.
And there's I'll type it in the chat.
There's a free version of that as well.
Yeah, I'm using the free version. So of course you get ads with the free version, but they're not terribly bad. And if you decide to go check it out, so you can do it on your phone and it gives you 5 hearts a day that you can lose. You can make 5 mistakes basically, and then you run out of fuel.
Oh, that's challenging.
Yeah, but if you did it on your computer, you're not limited. So you can use both your computer or your phone, and your computer gives you no limitation on how far you go for that day.
So you're learning Spanish, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I like to learn Italian, so yeah, that's a good
thing. Yeah. There's several people on there that are learning multiple languages at the same time, and I'm just, I couldn't do that.
My husband speaks 4 languages.
Wow.
With 3 different alphabets. It's like, I can't do that.
I speak 4 languages also, but that doesn't mean anything.
Did you learn them when you were a child? Or
I learned a couple of them as a child, and then the other ones I learned as an adult, or growing up. Yeah.
Wow. That's just, I find that amazing. I'm from South Texas, where a lot of people spoke Spanish, and so I knew enough to know we were talking about work or if somebody was calling me a bad name, for example, but I never fluent.
We always know the bad words first, don't we?
Well, you know, I grew up there, so yeah.
You know all the Arabic bad words. My husband's Lebanese.
Oh, is he?
So in learning these new skills, or these new things that are in that right column of things you'd like to do but can't do yet or find challenging, what if your current brain fog makes it really, really, really difficult to do those? Is it just a matter of doing bite-sized a little bit while your brain is like...
You've got to try something to get that brain stimulated, because anything is going to be challenging, even if it's little.
You know, they say ballroom dancing or partner dancing, where you've got to coordinate your bodies. I've heard that a couple of times from speakers or whatever. That could be something you can get some light exercise, but it's something that, because you've got to coordinate in such a way, you're using right and left side, and it's quite stimulating.
That's why I do taekwondo, because it, I have to learn Korean.
Yeah, any kind of combining physical movement, particularly if it's physical movement that's planned. So you have to remember the next because I come from a ballet background. So with ballet, you're moving both your legs and your hands, as well as your body. But then if you do something that's coordinated, like a choreographed piece, you have to remember that choreographed piece and make sure your body, and you do it to the level that you're comfortable with doing. And so like I, for example, with my mom, she might be doing stuff, she might be sitting in her wheelchair, but she's still moving the lower parts of her legs or her arms. We would still be having fun, but she was still engaging her brain. And then a lot of times it's really good if you're doing it to a song that has lyrics, if you can sing at the same time, because then you're engaging one more part. You know, the more, whatever it is, wherever you are, at what level, you work at that part. And then as you get stronger, add something.
Even knitting takes coordination. And it's, you know, not anything you have to pay for. Yeah. And you can do a good deed and make somebody a blanket and give it to them.
That's right. That's also one I've heard is knitting is also one that, because you've got to, but you know, if you were talking about earlier on finding some kind of something with movement and you've got low energy, the dancing, knitting, dancing, why am I trying to convince you? Do whatever, I'm sorry.
No, I just think it's okay, back. Share, yeah, please. So, yeah.
Whatever, no, sorry.
Anyway. A really great idea, Ronnie. I think it's, it also reminds me of, there was a study done, this one guy who had a brain injury and he was trying to learn things. And while he did memorization skills while exercising, and found wow. it tremendously impacted his ability to regain his brain, where he actually like knows all the phone books and all the zip codes and has wow. done amazing things, but combining the two together has a synergistic effect.
You know, that's, I mean, when we're talking about brain health, that's something to think about. Remember all the phone numbers you used to remember? I don't have to remember a thing anymore. And I'm a tour guide. Generally, what I try to do is remember the names of the people on my bus. And that's gotten sloppy, so sloppy, because I don't have to, it's not as active as what it was, because I got a phone. I don't have to remember a lot of things that I used to have to remember. And it's like, I used to be able to remember people in a span of 10 minutes, I could have 24 people's names down. No, I can't even have 5 anymore. And I mean, I cheated because they were sitting down, right? So you can kind of remember where they're sitting down, but that was 15 years ago, not anymore. No way. 17 years ago, I don't know, but it's like,
bye. Work at the same time, I don't know.
See, that's why I bird watch, because I look up birds to help me try to remember their color. Can't remember their song necessarily, but just finding an activity like that could be fun, and you learn
yep.
to see what happens with your anything that causes you to learn is going to be beneficial.
Yeah,
and if it's fun, of course, it's going to be even better.
The Swiss are really, they culturally are really good at remembering names. So like if you go to let's say you're at a cocktail party and you get introduced, they will remember the names. And so when they do a toast, then part of the culture is you toast and you look in each other's eyes and you say the name, you know, so you cheers so-and-so and all that. And it's really hard if you go to a new environment and you're meeting a lot of new people to remember the names. But if you just train your brain, and it's possible. It's also on the phone. When people call in Switzerland, they call and they introduce themselves. And then the person on the other side always remembers the name. And it's amazing. It's just part of the culture here. And I think it's something you can just train yourself to do through repetition.
Jim Quick has some type of memory class that you can do. And in terms of remembering a name, you've got to repeat the name. You've got to remember something else about them to help you remember them. And a lot of times I'll remember something about you, but I won't remember your name. So I can get away with it
Elaine, you were talking about the brown button on the very bottom that says export events.
I was.
No, I was talking about under ERC, if you pull that up. Let me see if I can find it.
It's export events at the bottom of the page, yeah.
Next event or like export events. So I've gone to that brown button and now it wants to save that as a file to my files. It doesn't want to go to my, it's not showing me an option to go to
in your newsletter, ERC newsletter. I think there are instructions there on how to save the events onto your calendar.
About the button in your email?
Yeah.
No, I'm on the open coaching call page on Dr. Rita Marie's Unstoppable Health. Mm-hmm. And so it says NEPT, I don't know what that stands for, open coaching call. And then if you go down all the way down to the bottom, you're talking about the brown button export events. Mm-hmm. It just wants to save it as a document. It's somewhere. It's asking me where I want to save it. Do I want to save it on my desktop?
You could save it in your Outlook, or if you can, you can say open with. It says what should Firefox or whatever browser you're on. So that's an iCalendar file. And then you can decide, you know, where it should be saved.
Yeah, it won't give me that option.
So here's the elite training that I went to under calls, under energy recharge. And this, like, all you got to do is click that. Like, this is one thing, the elite training. And this is supposed to come up. It did that yesterday. Maybe it'll take a minute.
But Martha, all that does is take you to the previous event. And then the bottom right takes you to the next event on the calendar. It's just a way of scrolling.
Right, but see, then that's where you access it.
Well, if you go to the whole call page and you get to the bottom of the calls, it says, has that brown button that says export events. And that's the link you use to share it to your calendar. And it will share the calendar data with Google Calendar, Apple iCal, or other compatible apps.
Elaine said to hit respond. Right? Right, Elaine, hit respond.
Yeah. Yes.
And see. I usually just do. So you go to access. Oh, there it said add to your calendar.
Yeah.
I don't have that. Maybe
if you add to calendar.
Yeah.
So that's November 23rd, and I just go to add to calendar.
No, I don't. It's not coming up the same. Maybe because I'm not elite.
Yeah.
Well, I just picked one.
Can I just do a quick share, Martha?
Yes, I'll stop share.
Okay. All right. So here is. Okay. Can you see my screen? Okay. So this is the ERC events. Okay. Then if you go all the way to the bottom, it says export events. That's the brown button. It says use this share calendar data with whatever, and then you just click on that.
Yeah, that does that. That wants to copy as a document. It doesn't want to actually. Doesn't work for me.
It's an iCalendar file, and then Okay, maybe try a different browser. Try Firefox. Chrome or Firefox. Okay, all right. Okay.
Oh, like so change maybe, browser? Oh, okay, I could try.
Yeah, yeah. Just try a different browser.
I made Chrome.
Yeah, so maybe just send Christina at the help desk the issue you're having, and maybe she can help you. Just send helpdesk@drvitamarie.com.
Okay.
And okay, guys, so I think we're at the end of our time. Okay, I think we're at the end of our time. If there are no other questions, I'd really like to thank Martha for the really informative and wonderful presentation. And thank you, everybody, for
thank you, Lisa, for your input. I appreciate all
thank you, guys.
How you helped me answer questions.
All right, so we'll see you guys when we see you next. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.